Hi there, my name is John O'Hanlon, and we're here in Acres in Corby in Ballyduff. We're sitting here in the kitchen with Thomas Harrington and looking forward to chatting with them about what we're currently going to talk about, which is the old house here and the local area.
Acres, why is it called Acres?
I actually don't know, but it's been called it for a long, long time. My father was a farmer. He sold the farm in 1969, about in that period anyway. So I presume it had to do with the area. It's always been called Acres, even back around the 1800s, it was called Acres. So I guess that stuck. And it's still, the area is still called. It's Corbally is the townland. And the farm was actually Corbally. So I believe it runs northbound as well. So it was very much to do, I suppose, with the local area. And it stuck.
Yeah, it's stuck, and then you know, it kind of suits the house as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, precisely. Yeah.
Now, ironically, why I got in touch was because we saw a post on the Ballyduff past and present page, and it was quite interesting that this is one of the oldest houses in the area. So you're the sixth generation, am I right, John?
Let me see now. I certainly will be at least the fifth anyway, and my daughter Kate, who you just met, will be sixth, and our little grandchild seven. So yeah, so it's quite a number of us. Let me see now. My father, my grandfather, my great grandfather, my great great grandfather. He was born in Ratu. I believe it was Bishop's Court South, and they came here about 1860 because he died in the late 1860s. So Paddy Fitzmaurice was very accurate in his post on Facebook, which was really impressive. I mean, fair play to him. It's very very accurate. Yeah. So they've a few generations have been here anyway.
And I suppose seeing that post as well, did it kind of influence you to kind of look into the bit of history that's here, or had you already been researching?
I already had a fairly good knowledge. I was quite interested in it anyway, because you're always wondering where you came from and what have you, and where people before you came from. So I knew quite a bit anyway, and my father was very interested in it. So he filled me in on certain things. But of course, now in this day, as we said earlier, it's all online. So you'd be surprised what you can find. It's going back quite a bit. You could go back several, maybe 100 plus years if you were prepared to go to like the National Library in Dublin or something like that. But the likes of for any listeners who would be interested in looking at different areas, you can look at Griffith's valuation online, and you can put in your townland and where you are. It gives quite an extensive view of the area and who lived there and what went on. You've also got the church tithes, which is another way of looking at things, and the records are actually quite good. And there's also, of course, the census of, I think it was, I believe I'm right in saying 1900 and 1911 is two censuses. Yeah,
1911.
that's right. So there's quite a lot there if you're prepared to do a little bit of clicking here and there.
Like before you know it, you're there for hours and.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's very, very interesting, and to see how people were, were able to get on and keep going, and through probably very turbulent times, no doubt. So it's very, very interesting. So anybody interesting, there's a few pointers. I'd start with Griffith's valuation because it's a really interesting one. And the records are good. They're very accurate, and they give you an indication of who lived in the area.
Yeah,
So.
for sure. This house itself, John, how old is it?
Well, it's certainly at least 250 plus. Now, my aunt had a historical society document that I saw over in the pub years ago, and it had to deal with the Cromwellian census, which obviously that was 1650 or something like that. Now, there's a house mentioned in it in this particular area, and it goes into detail of the house and what it looked like. Now, it mentioned two poignant ends. Which is exactly what this house is, two poignant ends. So whether it's this house or not now, I don't know, or another house. So if it was this house, or if it is this house, then that makes it 300 plus. So no doubt it's changed over the years. But certainly back in then, in those times, if it is this house, there was one existing, and it described Corbally and the bogland at the bottom, and a stream, which is the Foor down below us here. So it's fairly likely this probably is this house. Now there were other far more farm buildings what there are now. My father took them down. He always regretted it, but look, that's life. So if you look at the map of 1850 of the area, you'll see the house in its existence, which with the same poignant ends, One of the farm, sorry, all the farm buildings, but the ones that are gone now, obviously not. So it was a fair settlement in its day. So I would imagine it possibly is that house in the census. So.
Isn't it amazing to think that a house that old is still standing and is quite, now, as you say, there's obviously a bit of work on it in every sense, but it's still standing and it's perfect.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, well, when they built well, you know, what have we got, two foot thick walls, perhaps. Yeah, and they would have chosen an area where the reason this house is probably still going is it's built up on clay. We're higher up here. So the foundations, they'd have gone down till they hit good yellow clay or
arable
red. Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. Correct, yeah. It's the real secret to all these older houses is that you've got to keep them up on an elevated, dry site if you can. But if you're not, shoving a French drain to try and get as much water away from the building as possible, and therefore the lime mortar between the walls doesn't it doesn't what's the word I'm looking for? It doesn't depreciate. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's maintenance number one. I suppose it was always reasonably well maintained and in the best way people could. So that's probably why it's still standing. But up on a high site has definitely made a huge difference.
Facing the sun.
Yes, that's very true. Yes.
Yeah, and I was saying that before you came in, Thomas. The sun that's actually coming in towards the windows, you actually get great light in here.
Yeah, we get the sunlight here.
You can.
Like the rising sun.
A bit more sunshine behind you, bar the rain we just had.
this time of year anyway.
My daughter over from England is going to run back if she sees any more rain.
Thomas, tell me a bit about yourself, because you have spent years in this community, but you were telling me that you were involved in the trashing around here.
The trashing, yeah. I suppose, John, was that around...
would be the 80s, probably, I'd say, was it? Was it the 80s?
I'd say it was probably the 80s, was it?
Might have been.
I suppose 2025. I suppose about 1997, that was it.
I'd say you're probably right, that's
last,
correct.
Trash machine was here. Mm. And it was a great evening, Sunday evening here, and I caught all the neighbours, and it was a bit of a novelty because trashing at the corner had kind of, died out at that stage, like with all grandmother and with the combined harvesters and everything, and there was a big crowd here that evening, and we were well looked after by Ty and everything, and there was a little bit of music and a bit of sing-song and a little drop of porter. And that made it very enjoyable. And this house, with all the touches that touched here from time to time, was actually a lot of touches were from Causeway and Ben and Timothy. You had Monkeen, and you had Ossie Gaynor, and Denny and Dee was a great toucher there in Causeway Village. And then later years, then you had Jack Horgan over from the Switch, which we call over near Lazelton. And you had Michael Deegan then, and his helper, of course, John Wing, used to be here. And then the last time then, it was the got attached with Reed. So it was, but I sure it was Hanlon's. It's always, for the Thatchers, there's always like the honour, I'd say, of touching the house here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I suppose the fact that he got a good bit of publicity then, the time that... The radio, you know, the programme that used to be on television one time. Was that a bit before your time?
It could be a bit before my time.
You ever hear Miley and Biddy?
This is going over my head, lads.
That was the 70s, wasn't it? That was the 70s, yeah. The 70s, yeah. Very popular in those days.
John Coley and Myra Deedy, they were great actors and actresses. There was Tolerate here.
They did indeed, that's correct. Yeah, they'd go down to Ballyduff for the Sunday Mass, and people who probably didn't go to Mass for a long time turned up.
But
very nice people as well. I remember them. Yeah, I was very young at the time, obviously. But that obviously, you've got that. So they were, nice people, very nice people.
Well, most of the cast should come here.
That's right.
They kind of a break, that'd be recording and things like that. They might take a few days off. And come down here to...
And why not?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And here then. And of course, first one thing about the test house is that it's warm in the winter and it's cool in the summer. Like, much the same temperature, kind of. You know, it never gets overheated, it never gets over cold.
Yeah.
So
And I was actually asking you about that, John. Obviously, when you were redeveloping the house, you had to keep some kind of parts of the house still unique. So one of those was the thatch roof and the windows.
Yeah, that's right. Well, here is fortunately, actually, is a protected structure. Ireland's getting much, much better at looking over its historic buildings. So the roof has to stay exactly the same. It has to be thatched. The sash windows we replaced in 2013. They have to stay that way absolutely as well. So we've kept it as close to what it should look like as possible, and didn't really change that much at all. There were some buildings at the back there which went up in the 60s, but they weren't beneficial to the building and they were detrimental to the older walls here at the back. So we actually took them down and took them out of it. So we actually took it back to what it actually was, which was a long thatched house. Two poignant dens, as we said earlier, and we took away the buildings that were they were put up in the 60s in order to probably expand the size of the house, but they really weren't doing it any favors, and we tried to keep it as authentic and unique as possible. We used a lot of lime mortar, a lot of lime plaster, a lot of traditional methods. One end of the house we replaced the timbers and we replaced them with oak. Which oak will last 200 or 300 years again. So we've really tried to keep it as true to form as possible. The old timbers here in the kitchen that we're sitting in. What I did was I got a man in England actually, because I was coming back from England at the time, to make me up some steels, and the steels had they were in an L shape. And what we did is we bolted the steels into the existing rafters, and then the L shaped went down through the wall. Because some of the timbers here were not towards the very down by the wall plate weren't great, but we didn't want to take them out, so we cleaned them up and we put in our steels and now like
supported
exactly. Yeah, we didn't want to take out the original timbers over here, you know. So just little things like that. And but I was very lucky really, because we refurbed a very old historic house in England, which was in a much worse state than this one was in. So I had a great advantage over a lot of people.
You knew what you were doing before you got into it.
Yeah, to a degree anyway. But I saw what the modern thatching methods were, which was probably the most important thing. And three different thatchers worked on the house. So I knew where the materials were sourced. I knew the modern methods. I spoke to the master thatcher, he's called over there at the end, and he explained to me, you know, how it was all done. I watched them doing it. So when we came to do here in 2013, I had a head start over nearly a lot of people anyway. I knew it was now all the courses were screwed in with a rebar, like 6 mil rebar. And the reed comes from Hungary of all places. But it's a very durable material. And if you're going to do it, you have to do it right. Because otherwise you'd be coming back to it in 5 years' time and it'll be breaking your heart and you'd think, what have I done? Whereas, you know, we knew the right methods. And the two guys who came actually were from Poland. And they were trained here on a Foss scheme. Thatchers would come over from England. So fair play to Foss, they did a great job. They really know what they're talking about. When they came here in 2013, they had just moved away from somebody they were working for and they were going out on their own. So I said to them when they started, I said, look, I said, put a sign up, because everybody driving by there was stopping to have a look. I said, put your sign up. So they were working away anyway, and you could tell they were proper tradesmen straight away. People were driving by. Anyway, within about probably 2 to 3 weeks, I suppose, Sheila Welch is over there. They got the contract to do that. And then Michael Diggins, as we mentioned earlier, they got the contract to do Diggins on the Ferry Road. So all of a sudden, and they deserved it as well, they're excellent tradesmen. Yeah. They started getting all this work coming in, you know, and it wasn't just us, but it certainly gave them a head start in this area. Mm-hmm. And then they moved on to Killarney after that, Thomas. Okay. I think they were down in Kenmare. They've been all over in lots of places in Kerry afterwards, because people were literally driving by and they were saying, you got to see what the job they're doing, you know, in Ballyduff there. Yeah, they were very, very good.
And is really. It hard to find people who actually can do thatched roofs, or is it an idea that people think that, you know, not a lot of people actually know the trade that well anymore?
Sure. Not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. I think we mentioned earlier that a lot of younger people now are going to take on an older building, whereas maybe 20, 30 years ago they wouldn't have. Whereas now they will. You know, the advent of YouTube, as we spoke about earlier, TikTok, it's, you know, people get interested in older buildings and they see how it's done as well. They've got a reference point, you know. And there are way more Thatchers in Ireland now that perhaps you would have seen 20, 30 years ago.
And the Dale Light. Straight through the enters. All the Thatch cottages that are in the Dale Light.
True,
yeah.
That's right, exactly.
But that was one of the main tests there was Denny Indy from Cause when he was a good man to tell the story, like the yarn. And he used to always tell the yarn that he was catching here one morning, and I suppose that must be a pig's like, they used to have pigs here, like, and the cattle back then. But Tige, of course, then was his sister, John's aunt, had a bar in Ballybunnan. But then he was catching away, and he gave him up so much scallops and so much straw and everything like that, was straw that him. And the scallops, and Tige went away to Ballyduff maybe for a few messages. And Denny said that the soul came out. And the soul came out, scratching her back under the leather. She pulled the leather from the leather being two parts, like, you know what?
I do.
Because the leather wasn't extension leather, right? That came out, two timber leathers, you know, the short one. And then the other one, then let me up on the roof anyway. But then he was stranded up in the house anyway until for a good while. But he used to tell that it was part.
Crater.
Part and parcel. But I say it first, and then about a house behind the closet, he probably said all the same story. And other south and north there. But they were great people, like the Thatchers. They were tough, like.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a good few days at work in it, I'd say.
There's a lot of work in it.
We had a Thatcher house up to 1989. And that man, oh, Denny Indy, tested it once, but he was a good man, with straw and scallops and everything. And about 6 feet in the day. So he do well, though. Mm-hmm. Do it very well.
And like you say, do it right the first time.
That's right, yeah. I mean, Thomas there mentioned wheat and straw. It was the great thing back in those times, really, is you could grow it. So big difference to today, you know, where you've got to buy in your reed. There's very few people now that will probably grow that for you and comb it out and work with it. You know, there are a few already I've seen up country where it'll still do it, but it's rare. Whereas at one time people were farming was different, wasn't it? Thomas? Yeah. You know, you'd have your thrashing, then you'd have the end result, then it would be utilised elsewhere again. So nothing went to waste, you know.
It's a shame now, though, isn't it, that, you know, those days are kind of changed and that, like, nothing went to waste, but now we waste so much.
We do indeed.
And the note I had last night, I was down in Newcastle last night, I was meeting about Mercure, this new European thing that's bringing in beef from outside of, from Brazil and places like that. I don't know, the Irish, the whiskey now, that there's not no Irish product, no Irish barrel used in making whiskey in Ireland now.
That's right.
Hard to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That's as much as the only thing that's used is the water.
And we do water well here.
yeah, we do indeed. Yeah. talking about barley, would you believe I think I'm right in saying that you need a better quality of barley for brewing as you do for whiskey?
Yeah. But that was what all was here, the malt and barley. And certain farms that they get the contract on certain land, right?
Yes.
To grow it. Mm. But I couldn't believe when I had that last night.
Things have changed.
Changed.
And John, when you were saying, you know, you grew up here when you were very younger, and obviously things are very different, but is the house, you know, when you walked back into it and kind of started shaping it up to be your own, was it a big change, or did you feel like you were home again?
I didn't feel like I'd been away for a good number of years anyway, that's for sure, you know. It required quite a bit of work because it had lain dormant for a good number of years, really. But I had been making lots of contacts with people anyway over the previous few years. Thomas would know with the horses and stuff like that, and dare I say it, I'd be over here for the hunts.
Bad
enough, exactly. Many a good day in Parcels Bar. Brendan and that used to put a great day on. I used to come over from England specifically for it. So, of course, I'd know a lot of the crowd and that, and I don't hunt anymore. But so I already sort of knew people, so I didn't really feel that I'd been away, really. Of course, you do to a degree. But, you know, you take on a project like this, and you're fairly absorbed in it. And it, you know, it was a fairly extensive amount of works, you know.
But definitely worth it in the end.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. I mean, you know, huge numbers of people said to me afterwards, what a nice job that was done, you know. And I think people really enjoyed that,
yeah.
You know, to see something brought back to life again. And you know, at the end of the day, people travelling the road there, they'll always recognise this house because it's right on top of the hill, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so I think people really, I think the local people.
John, did you get all that? You know, like when you were remodeling and all that, you know, the standards, was that a department or that was?
No, they were very good, really, to be fair, and very, very good. And I was, I guess they pretty much knew I was going to stick to what I felt was right for the building. But to be fair, they were very, very good. Whereas in the UK, as you know yourself, they're very, very strict over there. So I'd seen that and seen how that worked. But here they were very, very good. Yeah, very good indeed. And we spoke earlier about the grant system. The grant system here is actually very, very good for the older buildings. Like my father always qualified for a grant every 5 years. And only recently we did a bit of ridge work last year. They're very good. They come out, you explain what you want done, you explain who's going to do it, and they'll agree funding. And after they must
say heritage.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They're very, very good. And so they should be, really, because otherwise these houses, they're not easy. They take a bit of knowledge and a bit of work to put them right. So every bit of help, I think, is beneficial. Otherwise, you won't see them anymore.
Yeah.
But there are younger people who want to get stuck in, and they've seen their YouTube channel in wherever, some part of the world, and thought, oh, I'll tackle that cottage down the road there. So yeah. there's a really good revival, which maybe people aren't familiar, really. There's a lot of young people now will come in and they'll do their research. They'll understand lime plastering. They'll understand good drainage around the building. They'll understand thatching, for example. They'll understand they've got to get their roof timbers right first, you know, because the knowledge is out there. So therefore, the older buildings, hopefully, and will be kept going for quite some time yet.
Well, I suppose the other thing as well is if you have patience, because a lot of people, especially my generation anyway, it's, I want to move in now. But a job like this, you have to take time and consideration that it's not going to happen tomorrow. You need to... Right. Put pen to paper first, plan it out, and be patient with it.
Yeah, going back to the people on YouTube, I've seen an English couple actually. They've been on YouTube. I can't remember who they're called now, but they're out the other side of Tralee, and again they took on a fair old refurb. They were living in a caravan, like fair play to them.
Yeah.
But they got there, and the end result is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
So you've got to be prepared for the sweat and the tears and the blood. You have
the
to be prepared for the hard work. Yeah.
But now I just going back to I was asking about the what that strict on you doing the work. But because I can't do less, so I sorry. Can you think like we 1989, we decided to build that was a reconstruction grant, you know, and that was. So we just went with it, and we would to tell you like the engineer that came out like from the department at him, very helpful. I said it's far more difficult now if we're trying to get planning and get every kind of other thing, but that were when we should let a part of the house there by right, you know, to get that was about 9,000 they were rent, but. So when the man came out anyway, I said to him, you know, will I have to leave much of the old building there? We were getting rid of the thatch, like, you know, putting a slate roof on the house. But, you know, he said, you know what they'll do now, he said, because I've seen these kind of things done. If you want a wood dry house, he said, you knock it completely and put a block on the flat. Like, that was very, very helpful then, a cavity and a block. I said, and if I ever have to check you up, he said after, you can always say that was the old wall, the breath of the old wall. But we only left one with someone side with the front side of the house after. But
it
was that was very helpful. Like,
yes,
but,
yes.
And I don't know how I just said that, but you know, I felt that up to 19, that I was a very healthy house to live in. I thought my fertility was far better than the test too.
Okay. Anyway, that was very interesting.
Well, I said four three children born, and it took three hard years to produce that.
But John, as you were saying, you know, you have your beautiful granddaughter now, and she's the seventh generation
And seeing her coming through here now and thinking, you know, all these chapters have passed.
That's right.
It must be a full circle moment.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, it comes upon you fast too. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect that one. Without a doubt. Yeah, it's quite a number of generations all in the one place. So.
Yeah, of course. And you're busy here now. You you work from home with your wife,
and you have
your organic farm outside.
We do indeed. Yeah, I mean we've got a few acres left anyway. There's four or five there, and they're organically certified. It's my wife's skincare business, Eon Organics. Bit of a plug there. Hope you don't mind. So we grow lavender here. We grow calendula, chamomile, lemon balm, lemon verbena, just all varieties. And we have a little still here as well, so I distill some of the products, and we macerate our own oils for our own products. So we're still farming here anyway, albeit on a very small scale, but mm-hmm. we're still doing it anyway, which is probably the most important thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, John, I wish you the best of luck for the next 250 years
and
under this roof.
Yeah, exactly. I'm feeling my age today, actually.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
No, and it's lucky that Thomas was here because, you know, he really is a link, you know, that I wouldn't have really. And it's great, like he's got the stories and the memories and what have you, whereas I would be a different generation again. But fair dues to him for coming over. And he's always a great character with the horses.
Oh, I can tell.
Good to be here.
Good to be here.
Thank
exactly
you.
Right.
And
yeah.
Like, no, that was because his stories from home.
Or the horses.
About the catching. One man used to come here, Jack Horgan, and he'd not care, and he'd be picked up, and he'd have to be dropped off. But he'd be working at 9 o'clock, like, and he'd work until 6 in the evening. But he'd like to be taken down to the village then and dropped off for an hour or two at McCarthy's pub that him and. I could pick him up then again and take him home after that, and that was both very happy. So they were like, Thatcher happy.
Quench the thirst.
No, no.
That's it.
The Thatcher's wife might be as happy.
Yeah.
It's just, there were some great characters. And it was mighty. The way that I remember, there was a big storm in 1961. Divya. There were two awful big storms in 1961, one in September, one in October. And the one in September came, but in between our neighbours next door, there were two houses above next door, they had thrashed the corner in between, and they had a lovely job done in the house, attached to it, like. And a second storm came anywhere. The first storm came from the southwest, and the second storm came in from the northwest, from the sea. And as you say, anything fresh like that, I remember around the same years, the man from Causeway touched our house, and we met him at the Causeway Fair. The 16th of November was a big day on Causeway. In fact, yesterday it's been off a big day on every door,
was it?
Or, John?
Yes.
The 1st of December.
Was it?
And so it's been known as the Fair of the Cross.
Good God.
In every door.
Right.
And there's always the Fair of the Cross, 3 weeks and 3 days from the Fair of the Cross was Christmas.
Christmas, yeah.
Mm. So, our house. I remember meeting the Thatcher in Causeway at the fair in Causeway, and he was wondering tonight, did the storm do any harm to our house, because it was freshly thatched now, but it was maybe thatched a bit longer than next door. And he took the roof next door, he took it straight from the straw, with the straw inside, and the inside said that was the old way with the scallops, like, and the pushed the straw into the, to be taken from the bog, the straw. Big long scroll over and to hold the scallop, hold the straw into it. But it took the whole roof that night. Mm. And the next morning, when they woke, I partly guessed that it should be brighter. And it had taken the whole roof next door out across our roof. And it had the window now blocked up. It's all right now to try and sort it out.
I can imagine. Yeah, for sure. But now you see trampolines in storms going up in the air,
right,
not roofs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And modern roofs.
Yeah.
Mm.
For
don't,
sure.
They don't last the test of time.
Back over the years, like they were great. Of course, the touching was the important thing, and done right, like. But it stood up to many. Mm-hmm. Even the night of the big wind in 1839, 6th of January, a man, it knocked him off at the modern houses in Dublin. A lot of the test houses along the west coast survived. Believe it. Maybe it was where they were positioned to and things like that. Maybe a lot of houses. You see, a storm does very little damage in the northern area.
Mm-hmm.
Just a whirlwind in houses in things like that come in. That does the hard and the straight wind doesn't do that much damage.
Mm-hmm. Sure. We could be here all day.
We could indeed. Yeah. We're only just getting started.
And tomorrow it is.
Thomas, thank you very much.
No bother.
And John, thank you.
Pleasure.